one. Maybe the Lord can strike it in your heart like He did mine. I never really thought about this before. John 1 and verse number 17. John 1 and verse number 17. John 1, 17, it says this, "For the law that we've been talking about all morning was given by Moses." Who the Lord gave the law to? Moses, right? He took and then did what? Gave it to the people. We've talked a lot about the law. The law was given by Moses. But grace and truth, who gave that? Who did that come by? Jesus Christ. Amen. And if something comes by somebody, then that answers this question simply. I'll make this statement. Jesus is the beginning of grace. Amen. You say, where did grace begin? A lot of times people ask, well, where did God begin at? Where did He really start at? Well, He's always been. But where did grace begin? The Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Grace began with Him. Notice what it said. But grace and truth. Where did truth begin? Came by who? Where did it begin with? The Lord Jesus Christ is the beginning. Amen. He is where the grace began at this morning. Amen. You think about this morning. Jesus is the beginning of grace. You want to experience grace in your life? You say, I don't know nothing about this grace you're talking about. You go to Jesus and He can begin a work of grace in your life this morning. Amen. He is where grace begins. Amen. He is where you can find grace. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 and 9 describes another aspect of grace, and it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." It's by grace that we are saved this morning. Amen. That's the only thing that can save us, is by His grace. But there's something else about this great grace that we're talking about that describes who Jesus is, and that's found in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Sometimes you have to go through things in life to take and to see the grace of God in such a real and a great way. And here, that's what happened to the Apostle Paul. We won't read all the verses, but we'll read just a couple. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 7. It says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh to keep him humble, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice." He asked the Lord thrice to take it away, that it might depart from me. "And He said unto me, what? My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness." You think about the fact, and we'll read the rest of the verse in a second, but you think about God's grace saves us. Amen. God's grace strengthens us. God's grace is what can give us a chance. Amen. And allows us to be able to accept the free gift, to go to heaven one day. It's because of His grace. But His grace is also something that's sufficient this morning to give us strength. Amen. It's sufficient to give us strength. I like what the verse says here at the end. It said, "For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities." Why can he glory in this thorn of the flesh that he prayed and asked God to take away? "That the power of Christ may" what? "Rest upon me." Amen. In other words, the fact that he realized that this, if you will, struggle that he had, this physical ailment that he had, even though God wouldn't take it away, it was actually a blessing from God, because it allowed him to take and to see God's grace in a greater way in his life. Amen. You think about God's grace this morning. It's one that's sufficient for whatever we're going through in our lives. Amen. You say, I don't, and I've done this before, we all have. I've said, I don't see how somebody could deal with that situation they're in right now and make it through and act the way they do and keep the good attitude and the good heart and the good spirit and all these. I don't know how they could deal with that. I couldn't deal with that. We ever said that about something somebody goes through? We all have. There's only one answer I can give of how they can do it. And it's the same thing why Paul got through it. Because God gave them grace that's sufficient. Amen. That's the only reason they can get through it. Because God gives them the grace that's sufficient. You know why you and I think we can't get through it? If that was us and we say, I couldn't get through that, because God gave us the grace enough to be sufficient for that. Amen? But He's given us grace in another area that they're not going through that's sufficient to help us with what we're going through. Amen? And if we were to take and to be, have that same exact thing put on us that other person's going through, you know what we could go to God and seek from Him? and He would give us enough grace to make it through. Amen? Because He would give us that grace to be sufficient. You say, what are you saying? I'm trying to say what someone said before in a statement. They said this, the grace of God will not lead you to where the grace of God cannot what? Keep you. Amen. In other words, that if He leads you there, His grace is sufficient and He'll give it to you. You say, I couldn't do it. You're not there. You don't need the grace God's given them. Amen. In the way that He's given it to them. Amen. But if God led you there, He'd give you that grace to get through it. Amen. He'd give you that help to get through it. His grace is sufficient for what you're going through, just like for the Apostle Paul. That's a promise that we can claim. Amen. That's a promise we can claim. This is true with salvation. It's true with strength in our lives. That is simply the only way we can make it is by God's grace. Amen. The only way we can make it is by His grace. You say, who's Jesus this morning? He's grace. Amen. He is grace. Turn with me, if you will, to another verse I know you're familiar with, but John chapter number 3. And we'll look at a couple verses here. John chapter number 3, as Jesus was talking here to Nicodemus, the ruler, as he came to him by night, the Pharisee here, as he's taking and talking to him, he begins to talk about, of course, you must be born again and all those things. But then down in verse 16, the most familiar verse in the whole Bible, probably to everybody and those that aren't familiar with the Bible that still know it, John 3 and verse 16, the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but, here's why, that the world through Him might be saved. Amen. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? Here's what we mentioned earlier. Condemned already. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Amen. You think about the fact tonight, this morning, simply this, that the second thing you say, who is Jesus? He's grace. But I don't know how you can describe the Lord Jesus Christ this morning without saying that He's love. Amen. He's love. You think about today, God is love. You think about this morning, God is love. The most famous verse in the Bible that everybody knows tells us, for God so loved this world. Amen. Why? You think about today, God this morning loves me and He loves you. Have you ever had anybody before? I'm going to ask kind of a dumb question, but there's a point why I'm going here. Hopefully you'll see it at the end. As Russell says, I'm going somewhere. Just hang on with me. I'm getting there slow, you know. But you think about, has anybody ever before told you they loved you? Some of y'all ain't never had nobody tell you love you, poor things. But anyway, I love y'all, okay? Now you can raise your hand. How many of y'all said people's love? Okay, we've all had somebody tell us we love them, or they love us. We've all had people. But let me ask you this. Has everybody that's ever told you they loved you really loved you? Is anybody in here? I'm not going to look because somebody would be naive and raise their hand. But I would not understand my question properly. Has anybody in here say, every person that's ever told me in my whole life they love me, I really believe they love me? We got one. Amen. You think about it, I'll be honest with you. I don't think everybody in my whole life that's told me they love me really love me. They might have liked me. They might have wanted something from me. Amen. They might have taken and said it just to try to make me feel good. Just try to make me hear what I want to hear. Try to make me happy. Or just said it out of a friendly gesture. Said it flippantly because it's just what we say. But they didn't really love me. You think about today, the Bible says here, for God so loved the world. I thought about this and I never thought about it before. God tells us He loves us a ton of times in the Bible. Amen. That He loves the whole world. This is the most famous verse that tells us that. But how different would it be, Brother Gary? I'm going to pick on you. Don't get mad, Diane. In your relationship, if Brother Gary, you told your wife every day for how many ever years y'all been married and how many ever, Lord willing, 70, 80 years y'all going to be married or more. Amen. Oh, me, she said. But anyway, that If every morning when Brother Gary got out of bed, he said, "Diane, I love you." I don't know if he does it or not. But anyway, every morning, if he was to say, "I love you," every morning he did that. But that was it. Birthdays come, never a happy birthday. Anniversaries come, never, "Hey, anniversary." Christmas comes, never a present. "I want to go out to eat tonight." "Go by yourself." "I want to go to the beach." "Nope, can't afford it. Ain't happening." "I want a beach house." "I don't want one. That's too much money." I'm giving examples. "The grass needs cutting." "Go cut it." "But I love you every morning." "Honey, I love you." "Go cut the grass." "Nope, ain't happening." "Honey, rub my back." "Nope, ain't happening." "I need you to take me to the doctor because I'm having this procedure done, and he says somebody needs to drive me home." "That ain't my problem." Brother Gary, don't do that, by the way. Amen. But I'm making a point this morning of winding up real slow to make an example. If he took in his whole life that they were married, every day told her he loved her, but never one time did anything in any way whatsoever to express that love at all whatsoever, would Diane believe him?
No.
Probably not. And if she did, boy, you got her duped. Amen. You would think, "He don't really love me at all. Name one thing you've ever done to show me." One thing I thought about with this that I never thought about before was this. If the Lord only told us in His Word that He loved us, how much love would we really feel? Would we feel like Diane would and say, "Well, He says He does, but I ain't never saw nothing. I can't think of one time, one example, anything ever to where He showed me He loved me." Does He really love me? We know God don't lie, right? So, okay, yes, He does love me. But I have never seen it. I've only heard it. But you know what? John 3:16 goes on, doesn't it? "For God so loved the world that" what? "He gave."
Amen.
In other words, it wasn't just the fact that, "Hey, I love you, world. I love you, Gary. I love you, Diane. I love you, Gerald. I love you, Brent." It's, "I love you, and I'm giving you something to show you, to demonstrate to you that I love you."
Amen.
"I don't want to just tell you, although that would be enough, because I'm God, and I don't lie. And you can believe me or not believe me, but I told you, and my word is enough, and God's word is enough." Amen? "But I just don't want to tell you, because real love does more than just tell you. It does something sometimes."
Amen?
Amen? There's some actions to go along with it sometimes. And how do we know that? Because we can look at the greatest example of love with God's love, the one that is love, as I'm getting ready to show in a minute, and we can say God says it, and God what? Does it. And that's the way real love is.
Amen.
It says I love you, but it backs it up too. Amen? Not by repeating the same thing three words tomorrow, "I love you." Not by that, but by showing it. Amen? By showing it every once in a blue moon. Amen? By showing it. If one time when Diane says, "Cut the grass," Gary says, "Okay, I'll call the grass man, honey." Amen? Every now and again, you think about do something on the honey-do list. Not every time, but every now and again. Amen? But I'm simply making the point, you think about God's love as one I've thought about, never thought about that before. What if He just said it but never showed it one time at all in any way whatsoever? But I'm thankful that God's love is a real love. It's a love that's genuine. When He tells us in His Word He loves us, we can believe it, yes, because God doesn't lie. Yes, because God is telling us and His Word is enough. But more and on top of the icing on the cake of all that is He just didn't say it, but He shows it to us every single day if we'll just open our eyes.
Amen.
That's why the writer of Amazing Grace could say that "I once was blind, but now I what?
See."
see. Amen. You think about today. Many today say, well, God doesn't love me. Look at what I'm going through in my life. No, He does love you. You're just blind and you don't see it. Amen. You don't see what He's done for you. You don't look around you and look at everything that's going on around you. God loves you. Look at what happens to you every day. Look at what God's given to you in your life. He's trying to show you that He loves you. Amen. Every time that heart beats and it keeps on working. Amen. He's saying, I love you. Amen. Every time He takes and gives you the ability to open up them eyes when you get out of bed every morning, that's God saying, hey, I love you this morning. Amen. Every time you can take and put your feet on the ground and move one in front of the other, that's God saying, hey, I love you. Amen. I'm giving you the ability to do this morning. And you think every time that you take and you look into God's Word, that's Him saying on every page and every line, I loved you this morning. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Back in Romans chapter number 5, where we was at earlier this morning, there's another great verse of Scripture that's that ties in really good with this point this morning, with this truth. In Romans 5:6, the Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for who? The ungodly, those sinners. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But, here's another one of those, God commendeth His love toward us. He demonstrated. He showed it. He just didn't say it, but He proved it. Amen. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for who? For us. Amen. For the whole world. You think about the fact today that God's love describes who He is. Amen. God's love tells us who He is. You say, who is Jesus this morning? He's grace and He's love. Amen. He's grace and His love. You look at those two things this morning, and there's countless the list that we could have, but I believe those would have to be at the top of the list. Amen? That He is grace and that He is love. You think about His love this morning. To accurately define love, I believe, cannot be done without putting God somewhere in it. Amen? Because you can't take this morning and really describe what true love is without looking at God, without looking at the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. You say, why could you say that? Because of what the Bible says over in 1 John. 1 John chapter number 4. There's two verses in chapter number 4 of 1 John that are powerful verses that why I believe the best way and really the only way you can describe love has to have God in it if to be 100%. It's 1 John 4 in verse number 8. The Bible says, he that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love. What somebody is their what? Character. Amen. It is their characteristic. It is their essence. What is God this morning? He is love. What is God? If you're going to describe Him, you've got to describe His love this morning. He is love. Down in the same chapter, if you will, in verse number 16, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is what? Love. And he that dwelleth in Him, dwelleth in love, dwelleth in God, and God in him. But I like verse 19. We love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. He loved us before we ever loved Him. And because He loved us and we saw it, then what happened? We fell in love with Him. Amen. You think about sometimes people talk about in relationships of how, oh, I love them and they wouldn't have nothing to do with me for all those years. And they'll say, well, I loved her before she loved me. Or I loved him before he'd have anything to do with me. That's the way it was in the relationship with us and the Lord. While we were sinners, the Bible said, what did He do? He loved us and He died for us. You think about, how can you say that? Well, I say this, I go even more. Even those today that don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior never will. You know what God still says to them? I love you even if you don't never love me back. Whether you love me back or not, I love you. And that's why the Bible tells us to love our enemies. Pray for them. Amen. And how we're supposed to treat them. Because when we were the enemies of God and we were lost, He still loved us and He still reached out His hands and arms to us. You think about simply today to fully describe God and say, who is Jesus in our human words? I think it's impossible. I don't think it can be done. You say, why? Because I don't think our words are sufficient enough. I can say grace, love, mercy, peace, truth. I can eternal, everlasting, infinite, omniscient, omnipotent. I can go into all the big words you want to think of and everything else that ain't nobody else thought of and make up names and everything else. But you know what? That's still not sufficient to describe who Jesus is, really, is it? The only word that I can think of this morning that's in the English language to use that I believe would probably the fullest describe the Lord Jesus Christ is one word. You say, who is He? He's all. He's all. He's everything. Amen. He's everything. He's all. He's it. Amen. You think about today to try to describe Him. What a great thing that is that every day you and I, do you realize, have been given the privilege to share with others who Jesus is. And we can tell them about His grace. We can tell them about His love. We can tell them about His mercy. We can tell them about His holiness. But either way, we can never fully describe to somebody who the Lord Jesus Christ is. But you know what? I thank the Lord that I don't know everything about Him, but that I know enough that I feel, as I believe it was Paul said, I think I believe, or Peter, one said, hey, you know what? He said, I don't understand everything, but this one thing I know. Amen. I'm glad today there's one thing I know, as even that blind man said, I was blind, but now I see, just like John Newton said in the first verse of Amazing Grace. I once was blind, but now I see. Amen. I'm thankful today for His grace and His mercy, for His love. Today, for God so loved the world. May the Lord help us today to share with others who Jesus is. And may He help this morning, if there's one in here that doesn't know who He is, that this morning might be the day you come to know who He is. Let's pray.